As we begin this morning, I'd like to just ask you for us to pray for just a moment together. There's days in your life when things are heavy and you struggle with things, and today's one of those days for me. So I'm going to ask if we can just pray as we start so that I can be focused on what God wants me to say and not what I want to say. So if you wouldn't mind praying with me. Father, come before you this morning with each one of us, but especially I ask of you to use my mouth today to say your words, not to deliver mine. Help me to have the right spirit today, Father, to speak the things that need to be heard by each one of us, and help us, each one individually, to have the heart open to listen to you. We know that, Father, that your word is the words of life, and sometimes we don't understand them. Sometimes we struggle, and you've told us there are going to be those days, and help us as we struggle today for your wisdom to help them to be meaningful to our life, to help continue molding us and shaping us as you being the potter and us being the clay truly are. Father, we trust you. And right now we want to just allow you to speak to us. And again, Father, I ask that you help me to deliver that word. Thank you for Christ, who gives us that strength. It's through him that we pray. Amen. Proverbs is a little different. If you begin reading through the Proverbs, you're going to see some things that may make you laugh, may make you cringe, may make you think a lot of things. God is mentioned in the Proverbs over 100 times and in 26 chapters of the 31 chapters. The home is mentioned in 28 chapters. Even more often than God is mentioned, the home is mentioned. The tongue, specifically the word tongue, is mentioned in 12 chapters, but when you include words like voice and words, mouth, those kinds of things, it's mentioned in nearly every chapter in Proverbs. Study is mentioned in 26 separate chapters. Sometimes one verse, sometimes two, three, or four verses at a time. But when we think about the Proverbs, we think about God is saying and talking through an extremely wise man, but not his own wisdom, but God's wisdom. And he's trying to help us understand this life. And you think about subjects such as God, and he is absolutely the most important than anything that we will study. And sometimes we have to take a back seat, not sometimes, always. God has got to be allowed to rule in our life, and our homes, our mouths, and the things that we say, the destruction that it has, the power of all those things without God in our life rule, and those things are not good. This morning, I just want to share three things with you out of Proverbs as we begin. And I just titled it Proverbs 101, the beginning. And we're going to study out of the Proverbs for a few weeks together. First thing that I want to share with you is this: reverence. We need to stop and learn to listen. We need to stop and learn to listen that God is the one who is in control. God is God. And too many times in our life, we don't think God is God, and we try to refashion him or reshape him into who we want him to be. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." If we want to ever understand anything in this life, we've got to come to this understanding this commitment that who we are talking about and who we are listening to and who we are worshiping is God, and He alone is God. I'm not God. I don't have all the answers, and I can stand up here every Sunday or Wednesday or as many times as I can, and I still do not have the answers but what God has given to us through His Word. My opinion doesn't matter, only God's does. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Only fools despise that wisdom and instruction. Chapter 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Knowledge. When we fear God, then and only then will we gain knowledge. Fear of God, then and only then, when we learn to fear God, will we have understanding or wisdom, where we be able to make application of the knowledge that we've gained. Understanding. Chapter 15 and verse 33 says, the fear, in a slightly different word, but literally he says, the fear or reverence of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. How many times do we think about who we are before? How many times in our life, and we get ready to pray, do we really honestly and truthfully with ourselves understand who we are going before and who we're bowing before? All you have to do is open up the Bible, the very first page in the very beginning, and it says what? In the beginning, God created everything that exists. I didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. God is powerful. God is to be revered. God is to be worshipped. God is to be us to bow down before Him. God is to be feared. And I believe we've grown up in a society today where the society says we don't need to fear anything except failure. We want to be successful. We want to do all of these things. So we're going to do everything in our life to do that. And we forget all about God. And we will do the things and say the things and go the places and all that that we want to do, but we'll forget who God is. And we're told, be still, be still. We'll even sing it, be still and know that I am God. And yet we refuse to be still. We keep moving and we keep our minds going and saying, what should I do? What should I be about? Let me tell you this morning, you are here not as an audience. There's only one audience, and that's God. And you are before Him, worshiping Him right now as we read His Word together. And so if there's some distraction in your mind, we've got to learn to get rid of that distraction and understand that we are to be still before God. We can question God, and God will say the same thing like Habakkuk did. God, how long do we have to put up with this? And God says, be quiet, and I'll show you something you can't even begin to understand. Even if I told you, you couldn't understand it. You're not me. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, and we've got to learn to have reverence before the God, our God, the God who created everything and everyone that exists. We need to learn to have a proper attitude towards God. That's what the Proverbs are all about. Over and over and over and over again, whether it's about the tongues that we use, the homes that we have, the families that we raise, it doesn't matter. God is the most important thing that we can do. How can anyone listen to someone that they don't respect? If I'm on the same plane with someone else, an equality, I'll listen to your advice, but you're no better than I am. It's not that way with God. We must learn to fear Him, to revere Him in everything that we do. We need to learn reverence. We need to learn to stop and listen to God. Second thing this morning, I told you it would be quick. Number two, we need to learn to stop and think. We need to learn respect in our life. We need to learn that when God speaks, we actually need to listen to what He's saying to us. We need to listen to things that are actually important. Not the fluff, not the little things, but maybe some of those truths that are a little deeper than we've ever committed our life to understanding. You know, there are a lot of things in God's Word that we just don't get because we haven't spent enough time trying to understand it. I can tell you, there are a lot of subjects in this world today I don't understand. You want to know why? Because I don't really care to understand them. Now, you may be interested in something that I am totally not interested in. And I may be interested in something that you're not interested in. And at the bottom line, the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But I'm going to tell you something that will not happen. When God's Word is treated that way, we'll not end this life well. We've got to learn to respect Him. We've got to learn to chew on some meat. We've got to learn to be students of His Word. And if you're not a student of His Word, it's time to end that today. If you're not reading His Word, if you're not studying in His Word, it's time for you to end that today. Because if you fear God, you will begin doing that. If you don't fear God, you won't do it. You want a marker in your life, and I'm sorry if this offends you. It offends me when I don't do it as well. But when God says, if you don't know my word, you don't fear me. If you don't know my word, you don't respect me. If you don't know my word, it's not changing your life, your family, everything about you. Nothing is going to change. You want to look at this world and see what's wrong with the world? This is what's wrong with the world. They don't care about God's Word. They don't care to understand the truth and the knowledge of what God has given us. And when we don't care about His Word, we don't care about who He is, we have no respect for God. Do you have respect for God in your life today? Look at chapter 2. My son, if you will receive my words, and you will treasure my commandments within you, if you will make your ear attentive to wisdom, if you'll incline your heart to understanding, if you will cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you will seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Do you hear the words that he just used? If you will receive my words, not just listen to someone read them, not know that they're there, but if you will welcome them in, if you will receive them. When someone comes and knocks on your door, have you ever looked out the window to see who it is and think, I don't know if I want to open the door or not? You can tell the truth. I've done it. Because sometimes at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning and someone's doing this on your door, I don't want to open the door. I know who they are, at least in my head, and I don't want to hear what they're selling today. God is constantly knocking at the door of our heart and our mind. Question is, when are we going to open the door? So one day the knock's going to go away. And it won't be there anymore. If you will receive my words, if you will welcome them in, if you'll open the door and say, come in, I'm ready to receive you. I want this in my life. If you will treasure them within you, if they will be more important than anything else, any learning. You know, we do this hour after hour of study and looking and doing and trying to understand jobs and all of those other things, and yet we won't even spend 5 minutes or 20 or 30 minutes in God's Word. Why? Because it's not a treasure. It's not important enough for us to do that. If you'll make your ear attentive to wisdom, is wisdom, God? How many times does God give us something, maybe another person, to help us and to say things to us and say, you know what, if you'll try this, if you'll do this a little differently, things will change. Your heart will change. Sometimes we refuse to listen. And we don't want. And he said, that's whatever is important to you. If you'll listen, incline your heart. Get your heart ready. Because we've heard over and over, out of the overflow of our heart speaks the mouth. The things that we've truly given our life to will come out of our mouth. If you'll cry for discernment, if you'll lift your voice for understanding, if you'll seek her like silver, like treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and will discover the knowledge of God. Is your heart ready? Is your ears, or are your ears open to listening to what God has to say to you? Now, God didn't say everything's going to be perfect in this life, did he? No. There's going to be some difficulties. But then once we give our life, once we give our hearts and our ears, once we give all that we are to him, then we will understand the fear of the Lord. We'll understand what he talks about, what he's talking about when he says, fear him, revere him. He's not us. He's not on our level. He's not humanity. He created us. He understands us better than we'll ever understand ourselves. We need to learn to fear him. And until we love his word, until we love him in such a way that will open our hearts and cultivate our hearts for him to come in, we will never know what the fear of the Lord is, or we'll never understand the knowledge of God. We have got to respect him. We've got to get there. We've got to revere God, we've got to respect God, then ultimately we have to respond to God. How many lessons have people heard and still refuse to listen to God? How many times in your life are you struggling with the same thing you've been struggling with for a long time? And I tell you, out of personal experience, I know every time I'm struggling with something, I know it's because I refuse to listen to God. I refuse to obey him. I refuse to actually listen to the things that he's told me. Why? Because we're taught to trust in ourselves. And I've said this before, I don't like riding in a car with someone else driving. Am I a better driver than anyone else in the world? Yeah. I have a problem whether we're driving 12 hours or 18 hours or 20 hours without stopping except getting fuel, I'm right behind the wheel. I know my weakness in driving. And that's why I have a big bag of sunflower seeds sitting right there, because they keep me awake. Or I can roll the window down and stick my head out like a dog and let the wind blow in my face and help wake me up. I know that, but I know I have a problem with giving up control in my life. And as humans, we pretty much all suffer with that. Because I know I'm not going to let me down. Wait a minute. How many times have you let yourself down? Oh, yeah. A lot. So why can I not believe God has never allowed me or never let me down in my life? He has never harmed me. He's never done anything negative to me, only positive. Only loved me, only taken care of me. Why do I not believe that he's going to keep doing it? Why do I struggle with that? We need to learn to respond to him. Chapter 3, my favorite passage of Scripture. Not that it's more important than any other ones, it's just one that's hit me in my life that I love and I try a lot to quote to myself. Chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart? How many of you have learned to trust with all of your heart in anything? Absolutely no question whatsoever in this world. It's hard. There are hard things. There are hard things in this life. But he says you've got to learn to trust in the Lord. Have faith in him. And I mean a true faith. One that says, when he says to do something, I just do it. I don't question it. I'm just going to immerse myself into it. Trust in him. And when someone says, you're up three or four stories up in a building and it's on fire and you can't see the ground, and they say, jump, we've got you. Who in your life do you trust enough to just jump? Anybody? It would be hard for me to jump out of a window not being able to see the ground and someone holler down up at me, just jump, I got you. I'm going to wait until the fire is right there and I can't do anything else, and I know the next few seconds it's either die here or have a chance to survive there, and I am not fully trusting. Who do you put in your life that you trust the most? We put people in our life that we can trust, hopefully. Trust in the Lord, again, with all of your heart. Every ounce of who you are, you trust. Everything you've treasured up, everything you've believed in, everything you've committed yourself and your life to, with every ounce of your being, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Here's kind of a clarifier. Do not lean on your own understanding. You see, the instant we start leaning on our own understanding and we understand the laws of physics, if I jump, I'm going down and I'm going down quickly, that understanding in my life says, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to get in an airplane with a parachute strapped to me and jump out of it. I don't care what you say. I know the laws of physics say I'm going to go really, really fast. And if this doesn't work, if someone got one string wrong, I'm not going to make it. I don't want to do that. That's all that understanding that we've gathered in our life, all the things that we've experienced. Do not lean on your own understanding. Why? Because it tears you away from being able to trust in God. Your understanding is fallible. God's isn't. Don't trust in you. Trust in God. And then he ends with this: in all your ways. In all of your ways, acknowledge God. Not in passing. Hi, God, how are you doing? In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Every decision that you make, every day of your life, who do you acknowledge in those decisions? Your religion. The thing that you believe. Acknowledge. Because so many times we fall into this trap of going to this church building over here, this church building over here, this church building over here, because I like what they're doing. I like what they're involved in, and I like those kinds of things. And one that I walked into one time, and it was a really, as far as a building, it was a really cool building. Matter of fact, they had a merry-go-round right in their foyer. Big, huge thing that the kids could get on and ride before service. It was pretty impressive. And I thought, man, what did that cost? How many people did that bring? We have several dozen kids lined up every service waiting to get on the merry-go-round. It's pretty cool. Is that wrong? I'm not saying it's wrong. I don't. Is that the focus of why we're here? If we make a choice, a decision to go somewhere because it's what we like and what we want to hear, there's something wrong. What is my religion all about? Is my religion about worshiping the only God that exists? The one who created this world, the one who created me, spoke me into existence in His very image? Is that what my religion is about? Do I want to know the truth? Do I want it to influence me? Do I want it to make a difference in my life? It'll only happen when we acknowledge Him, when we learn to revere God, when we learn to respect God, and we learn to respond to Him. Now, I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what you're struggling with. Only you know that. And maybe you've told someone else in your life, someone that's close to you, what you're struggling with. But you know what it is. When we give our life to Christ, we say, I want you to rule in my life. You make that commitment. You understand that He is the Holy One. He is the one. He is the one and only Son of God that gave Himself, that fulfilled all the law's demands to allow us to come back into a relationship with Him, if and only if we're in Him. And that's what the Bible teaches. If we had a few hours, I could just run through a whole list of scriptures that a lot of you already know. But every spiritual blessing, Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, every spiritual blessing is where? Is in Jesus Christ. There are no other blessings, no, not spiritually speaking, are outside of Christ. As a matter of fact, a few verses after that, it says the forgiveness of sins comes where? In Jesus Christ. Peace. Mercy, sanctification, justification, all of those things throughout the New Testament are found in Jesus Christ. Not my words, God's Word. Look it up, get a concordance, and study it for yourself. Now here's a question. How do we gain Christ? The Bible also is very clear on that. There's only two verses that tell us how to get into Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:27 and Romans 6:3 both say we are immersed into Jesus Christ. Not so we can brag about anything that we did. But if you want forgiveness of sins, where does it come? In Jesus Christ. If you're not in Christ, you don't have forgiveness of sins. Don't. It's not me. It's God. And you don't have peace with God unless you're in Jesus Christ. And I don't know where you are this morning, but if you want to be in Christ, you have to give yourself up. Why did God choose baptism? Pretty simple. For even a simple-minded person like me, baptism He chose because you are putting yourself to death. To allow God raise you up to new life. I didn't do anything. But God's putting me in Jesus Christ because I ended that old life. Struggling with some things we all do. If there's something you're struggling with today, we can help you. If there's something you're struggling with today that you need to talk with one of us or some of us, or you need us to pray for you, we would love to do that because that's the family that we are. We are a family and we help one another. We take care of each other. That's what we're supposed to be about. Not tearing down, not tearing apart, not destroying the Lord's church, His body, but we take care of one another. That's what we're supposed to be about.
Jesus, waiting, waiting.